The first thing I noticed was the dot. Green, perfectly round, sitting beside my name in the corner of the screen like a small patient eye. It meant I was present. It meant I was available. It meant, in the language our company had recently adopted without announcing it as policy, that I was working. The dot appeared the moment I opened my laptop and disappeared only when I closed it. I had not been told to keep it visible. I had also not been told I could turn it off. That was March. By April, I had stopped closing my laptop at lunch. The platform was called Meridian. Our company had rolled it out quietly over a winter that had already felt colder than usual. Not because of weather, but because of what had happened at the firm across the street, and the 1-2 floors above us in the same building, and the one that sent a company-wide email at 4:47 on a Thursday that most of us read about on LinkedIn before we even got to the office on Friday. The word layoff had started to appear in conversations the way a draft appears under a door. You feel it before you see it. You adjust before you consciously register why. Meridian logged keystrokes. It measured response time on emails. It tracked how long a document stayed open before edits appeared. It generated a weekly report that our manager Derek received on Mondays, and that I had never seen, but had been told was not punitive. It was, Derek explained in the team meeting where he introduced it, a productivity clarity tool. It helped leadership make resourcing decisions. It helped employees understand where their energy was going. He said the word clarity 4 times in 20 minutes. I counted without meaning to. I had been at the company for 3 years. I was good at my job, or I believed I was, which until that winter had felt like the same thing. The first time Derek asked me to stay after a call, I thought it was about the Henderson account. It was not about the Henderson account. He shared his screen, and there was a dashboard I had not seen before. Rows of names, each one followed by a series of colored bars. Green meant high engagement. Yellow meant inconsistent. Red, which Derek did not explain and did not need to, was self-evident. My name was Green. Most of my team's names were green or yellow. One name near the bottom was red, and had been red for 3 weeks, and that name was Priya. Derek did not ask me to do anything. He said he wanted me to be aware. He said he valued my perspective on team dynamics. He said that sometimes the people closest to a situation notice things that don't show up in data. He looked at me in the way that someone looks at you when they are about to offer you something and want to watch your face while they do it. I said I hadn't noticed anything. He nodded slowly, which meant he did not believe me, and moved on. I want to be precise about what I understood in that moment, because I have thought about it carefully since. I understood that Derek was not asking me to spy on Priya. He was asking me to be aware of Priya. Those are legally different things. In the workplace language we had all learned to speak by then, awareness was not surveillance. Awareness was professional. Awareness was the kind of thing you mentioned in a performance review as evidence of leadership potential. I understood all of this while he was still talking, and I said nothing, which meant I had agreed to something without being asked. That is how it works. The trap doesn't close around you. You walk into it because the door is framed to look like a hallway. The green dot was still on when I closed my laptop that night. I had forgotten, or I had not forgotten, and the difference between those two things had started to matter less than I would have expected. Priya and I had worked together for 2 years. We ate lunch at the same table when we were both in the office. She had recommended the dentist I still used. She sent me a voice note when my father was in the hospital, just to check, not asking for anything, just checking. I am telling you this not to make what happened next feel more dramatic, but to make it feel more accurate. The people you betray are rarely strangers. The ones you betray are almost always the ones you know well enough to know exactly what the betrayal will cost them. The following week, Derek mentioned in passing that the company's AI productivity analysis had flagged certain communication patterns as indicators of disengagement. He did not say Priya's name. He mentioned that leadership was trying to understand whether those patterns reflected personal circumstances, workload issues, or something more structural. He mentioned that sometimes a colleague in good standing could provide context that the data couldn't. He said the phrase good standing with his eyes on me. I told myself I was not being recruited to do anything wrong. I was being asked to provide context. Context was neutral. Context was the kind of thing a thoughtful senior employee offered when the company was navigating a difficult moment. The economy was difficult. The industry was difficult. 55,000 jobs had been cut the previous year by AI directly. I had read the number in three different places by then, and each time I read it, something in my chest adjusted slightly, the way you adjust your footing when the ground is uncertain. The fear was not irrational. That is the important thing to understand. The fear was rational, specific, and constantly being refreshed by real information. Derek scheduled a one-on-one with me for the following Thursday. Before the call, he sent a link to a new section of Meridian I hadn't been given access to before. It showed, in clean visual language, a team engagement map. My name was at the top. Priya's was at the bottom, with three consecutive weeks in red and a small flag I had not seen before, labeled review consideration. The access itself was the message. He hadn't asked me anything yet. He had simply shown me where I stood relative to where she stood, and let me sit with that for 72 hours. By the time Thursday arrived, I had already decided what I would say. I told myself this. I was not causing what was going to happen to Priya. The data was causing it. The system was causing it. I was being asked to confirm or complicate a picture that already existed, and if I didn't provide context, someone less accurate would, or the algorithm would be left to speak for itself, which would be worse. I was, in a narrow but defensible sense, the more humane option. I held that thought, the way you hold something that is slightly too warm, carefully, and only for as long as necessary. What I said on Thursday was not a lie. I said Priya had mentioned feeling overwhelmed in November, around the time the Henderson project stretched into the weekend. I said she had seemed quieter than usual in team meetings. I said I didn't know what was behind it. Every sentence was accurate. The selection of those sentences, in that order, in that context, in that meeting, that was not neutral. The selection was the act. I knew it and said nothing to correct it. And Derek thanked me in the tone he used when something had gone the way he needed it to go. Priya's review consideration flag disappeared from the dashboard 2 weeks later. So did Priya. She was let go in a restructuring announcement that cited AI-driven workflow optimization and a strategic reallocation of resources toward high-engagement talent. The email from HR used the phrase natural evolution of the team. Her name was not in the email. No one's name was. I read it twice, looking for the word I was afraid of seeing, which was my own. The green dot was still on. Here is what I have since learned about the architecture of that particular trap. It never required me to do anything I could point to cleanly. There was no document I signed. There was no explicit instruction I was given. There was only access, and timing, and a green dot that showed I was present, and a conversation in which I chose every word carefully, and still somehow said exactly what was needed. The manipulation was not in what Derek asked me to do. It was in what he made it structurally natural for me to want to do, because wanting to survive is not a character flaw. And he knew that, and he used it with the precision of someone who has used it before. The AI did not fire Priya. The data did not betray her. I have to be accurate here. I did. I did it using the fluency of someone who had learned to speak the language of neutrality well enough that the betrayal could be filed away as a performance review, a context conversation, a resource decision. The system gave me the tools. The economic fear made the tools feel necessary. But I was the one who picked them up. 52% of workers now fear AI will take their job. 60% of American workers believe AI will eliminate more jobs than it creates. Those numbers are not background noise. They are the conditions under which decisions like mine become not just possible but commonplace. Because when institutional fear is ambient and real, the manipulator doesn't need to threaten you directly. They only need to make sure you understand where the door is and what's on the other side of it. The green dot is still on. I haven't turned it off. I tell myself it's habit or convenience, or simply that the option to disable it is buried 3 menus deep, and I haven't gotten around to finding it. I tell myself this the way I told myself everything else, with enough accuracy to make the lie sustainable and enough omission to make it feel like the truth. I wonder sometimes if you would have done the same thing. I wonder if you're already doing it in some version, in some meeting, using some slightly different word for the same act. I wonder if your dot is green right now, and whether anyone is watching it, and whether you've started closing your laptop a little later than you used to, without fully deciding to.